I am wishing that someone would invent a device that whenever anyone speaks, especially in a public setting, that if what they say is not true, their ability to speak would automatically cease, or our ability to hear would automatically cease. Wouldn't that be nice? Because my responsibility as a pastor is to always be telling the truth. And there's a little joke in there, you see. Moving right along. Error, lies, confuse, at the very, very least. Not only do they confuse, they can be absolutely dangerous, depending on the severity or the significance of what the person is saying. Whenever anyone is involved in serving the King of Kings, I can guarantee you they are going to be assaulted by the enemy with lies. And if you pay attention to them, your work will come to a quick end. Nehemiah faced the same. And I want you to see how he responded to the lies of the enemy tonight. Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Reads this way: Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they sought to do me mischief. Attack number one of the enemy that's coming with a whole bunch of lies is this idea of, why don't you meet with us? Question is, why would they want to meet? Why would Nehemiah want to meet with them? What advantage, what profit would there be at this point in time with meeting with, and notice in verse 1 it says, with our enemies? Well, we need to be people of peace, don't we? Blessed are the peacemakers, after all. And therefore, I guess, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and all the rest of them realized that their goose was cooked, that they were on the losing side, that they were ready to give up, and we should negotiate with them terms of peace. Sounds reasonable. That might be a thing. The only problem is the timing on this. The wall was built, but the doors weren't on the hinges yet. The gates were still open. The work was not completed. And consequently, neither was the enemy. The enemy was still the enemy. What purpose would these guys really have? I'd like to suggest that our text really doesn't say what they wanted to accomplish with this meeting, but I'd like to suggest a couple of things that they had in mind. I mean, it sounds innocent, doesn't it? It sounds peaceful. Let's meet together. Possible thing is here. Nehemiah, you've done a good job. You know, when you came down here, and we did think that it was a good idea for you to be doing what you're doing, but we recognize that you've done a really good job there. And after all, we're on the same side. We serve Artaxerxes, and you serve Artaxerxes. We serve the same king. So rather than being antagonists with each other, let's work together. You know, and there's a reasonableness to you guys building the wall, but we should have some access, some free intercourse, one with the other, that we can come and go with each other and exchange ideas and commerce and trade. And, you know, if you put the doors on there, that's going to limit our ability to come to you and your ability to come to us. Why don't you just leave the doors off? Maybe that's what they had in mind. Here's another one. Possibility. Nehemiah, we've been watching you. We didn't like the fact that you were doing what you were doing, and we sought to hinder you, but you know what? You showed some pretty good leadership. You got things done. We really think that you could be effective working for us. After all, what are you getting out of the job that you're doing there? Are you getting rich by it? No, we could pay you lots of money. Are you getting popularity and fame and all that kind of prestige, positions of power? We could give you that. Come work with us. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe not. Maybe they had more devious intentions. Nehemiah, why didn't you come out here? Let's talk about what's going on. We've got to live together. And when he comes out, get him. Kill him. And, well, what are they going to tell the people? Well, he had a terrible accident. We're so sorry, but it was unfortunate. We did everything we could to protect him and save his life, but it just didn't happen. Now, that goes from one end of the spectrum to the other, maybe something in between. But even if it was the least of these things, what would the enemies of God be able to say? Well, we requested a meeting with him. He listened to what we had to say, and he obeyed us. Nehemiah, your leader, takes his orders from us. Therefore, when we speak, you too should take your orders from us. And now they have a position of authority over the people, which is a bunch of lies. How did Nehemiah respond? Verse 3. I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down unto you? I love the way he just responds rather bluntly to these guys. And there's something that we need to understand here. There is no better work for anyone to do than the one that God has called you and commissioned you to do. No matter how great that might be in the eyes of people or how menial that might be in the eyes of people, whatever God has called you to do is a great work for Him. Notice what he says. I am doing a great work. He's building a wall. That's a great work. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, it is a great work. And it is a work that must be done until it is finished. Or it won't be so great. Building the walls was wonderful. Leaving the doors off, well, that wasn't going to be so great. And he says, I've got a work to do. I've been commissioned by God. I cannot be sidetracked to take time to talk with you, which will not benefit me one iota. Besides that, I take my orders from God. If God told me to go speak with you, I'd be there. And he never said such a thing. I'd rather listen to him than you. I don't care how influential you might be. I don't care how profitable it may be to me. I take my orders from God. And he didn't say go. Whatever you're doing for God, there will always be somebody trying to deter you from the work or discouraging you from the work. Whatever it is a great work. Don't let them diminish it in your eyes. Don't let them detract you from it by saying, you need to talk with us. No, you need to talk with God. Well, Nehemiah put Sanballat and Tobiah in their places, and certainly they said, oh, man, he got us there. We give up, right? Verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. Either the enemy has a hearing problem, or he's not too dumb, or not too smart, or he's really smart and thinks that he can badger you. And usually that's the case. The enemy doesn't give up after one battle. Sent four times. And notice what Nehemiah did. And I answered them after the same manner. Things don't change. The value of the work of God never changes. The need to take orders from Him never changes. The need to finish the job never changes until the job is done. Well, then there was a change of tactics. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. First it was private, now it's public. Now instead of saying, meet with us, he is going to say, listen to us. Here's an open letter wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. Not meeting together, it's let's talk together. Listen to us. Man, there are rumors going around here. And maybe all they are rumors, but wherever there's smoke, there's fire. And we have a sneaking suspicion that these rumors are probably true. Nehemiah, your motives are questionable, at the very least. People are saying that you're building this wall in order that you can lead the people in revolt against the king. You know what? He's not going to take too kindly to that. He's not going to be favorable to you. If you are intending to revolt against the king, we really need to talk. Well, that was the farthest thing from his mind. As we remember back in the first chapter, he was cupbearer to the king. He was the one who submitted himself to the authority of the king. He was the one who would only go with the king's permission. This was the craziest thing. Sometimes when you think about the craziest thing, you start questioning, well, maybe there's an ounce of truth to that. And if they could get him to question his motives, it would keep him from effectively serving. Not only are your motives questionable, if not altogether wrong, your religion is also wrong. We hear that you have appointed prophets to declare that there's a king in Jerusalem, and that king's you. Well, no such thing had ever taken place. Isn't it interesting how Scripture can be perverted? It just baffles my imagination as I see some of my friends from high school and various other places on Facebook making religious accusations. You know what? Jesus believed in socialized medicine because he never charged anybody for healing them. Did you know that that's biblical accreditation for socialized medicine? And it's absolutely true. He never did charge anybody for healing them, didn't he? Of course, there was never any cost involved in it either. And I say, whenever somebody can cure you with no cost involved, they should not send you a bill. If there's cost involved, maybe that there's warrant for some. But you see, we leave out that little important fact about cost because it benefits what we want to hear or claim. And he's saying, you guys got prophets in there that's proclaiming a king. Well, who's the king? Was it Nehemiah? No, it's God. Well, we don't want to say that. So, not only are your motives questionable, you're going to revolt against the king, but your religion, well, it's self-serving. You try to justify yourself by biblical principles, and they really mean this. Not only that, this word that we're hearing is believed by everybody. it is reported among the heathen. Not some of the heathen. Not most of the heathen. It's reported among the heathen. And Gashmu, whoever Gashmu is, what mother would name their son Gashmu? I mean, that tells you right there as to his credibility. Nonetheless, he's reported, so if he says it, it must be true. By the way, anything that you find on the internet must be true because it's on the internet. Or Gashmu says it. Therefore, if everyone's saying it, it's got to be true. Look at his response. Verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them. You make them up out of thine own heart. You're just telling a big fat fib. That's all there is to it. He said, there are no such things. There's no king here. Ask anyone here if there's a king here, namely me. Not a person could verify that. Isn't it interesting how some of these claims that are being made, they're nameless? Or they come from the name of somebody that you've never heard or really doesn't know what they're talking about. I just marvel when people put things on Facebook, and you can see I spend too much time on Facebook because that's where I get all my sermon illustrations. But they put all things on how to live, and the Dalai Lama says this. Well, whoop-de-doop-de about the Dalai Lama. Did he ever rise from the dead? And yet his word is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ, who said just the opposite. Amazes me. The facts don't lie. True facts. But the enemy does. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are your father, the devil, who was a liar from the very beginning. Think about what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. He took one truth, but made it into a lie. Has not God said you shall eat of every tree in the garden? Well, every tree but one. Kind of left that out, didn't he? And consequently, he goes on to then deny the truth. You shall not surely die. And the whole world was plunged into error and sin because of that. Facts don't lie. Facts tell the truth. And Nehemiah comes along and says, no one here will say those types of things. Here's the evidence. Well, by the way, John chapter 8, Jesus also said something about the truth. It shall set you free. Whenever the attack comes along that's questioning your motives or questioning your biblical foundation upon what you're doing, or your question as to how many people, you know, us Bible believing folks, we're in the vast minority. That is true. We are. Majority of the people know what's right. So if we're in the minority, we must be wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. Word of God will always prove itself true. Well, that didn't stop them. We move on here. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Okay, God, they're making their attacks. I've done what I can to dispel them, but I'm trusting you to do the rest. Well, that didn't stop either. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah. Now, Delaiah is one of the courses of the priests. So here is a person who is in the priesthood. It's not the enemy. It's one of them. The son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. He was confined. It doesn't say here why he was confined. Maybe there was some type of physical problem or whatever. But nonetheless, he wasn't getting out. And said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee." Here's a guy who is, at least on the outside, one of the good guys. Not one of the enemy. He's a priest. Well, certainly you can trust the priesthood, can't you? I mean, they're always good guys, aren't they? And here's a guy who apparently may have called Nehemiah because he's shut in. And he says, "Listen, I've gotten word that they're going to come kill you." And they, by this time, they probably are getting mad with Nehemiah. And the work is getting done. And they're getting to the last opportunities that they have to keep the work from being committed or completed. So last thing they can do is to kill him. And I've got inside information here. You've got to protect your life. Come with me and let's go into the temple. Let us shut the doors and there we will be safe. We will trust God to keep us safe. Well, that sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? After all, which is more important, your life or the wall? You have to make a choice, don't you? That's the lie. You have to make a choice. And of course, the choice is save your life. We can get the wall later. But if you're not around, we're not going to get the wall done. So save yourself. Let's go in. We'll get in the temple. We're going to trust God. Oh, that sounds so spiritual. That sounds so faithful. What's wrong with it? It's never right to do wrong in order to accomplish good. Well, what's wrong? It was unlawful for Nehemiah to go into the temple. If you go back to the book of Numbers, couple of passages, Numbers chapter 1, verse 51, Numbers chapter 3, verse 10, Numbers chapter 18, verse 7. They all say that the care of the tabernacle, now it's dealing with the tabernacle because there was no temple, but nonetheless, the tabernacle would become the temple. So what was given as laws from the tabernacle pertained to the temple. Those were to be carried out by the Levites. Particularly, the sons of Aaron would be the priests, and only they were allowed in the temple. For Nehemiah to go in the temple, he would have to violate the law of God. Notice what it says. His response, verse 11. "And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, violate the law, that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." Man, your life is in danger. Become afraid. You should be afraid. Protect yourself. God wants you safe. Hide in the temple. It'll pass. They won't find you. And when it's all over, you can come out again and we'll get back to the work. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? It's never right to do wrong in order to accomplish good. You see, even if they don't make a further attack on him physically to take his life, what can they say? Here is a man who puts his own welfare above what the law of God states. Should you people be followers of a leader like that? Come on, guys. You can't follow him. He'll lead you into sin just like he did. Now all of a sudden they're going to come super spiritual. And guess what the people would say? You know what? That makes sense. And the work comes to a conclusion. All because of a lie. Verse 14, his response. Well, we've seen this. First of all, he recognizes that if God has called him to a work, God is going to preserve him in the work. But then he says this in verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Father, I am resting in your sovereignty and justice. You've heard what they've said. You deal with it. I will deal with what you gave me to do. I will stay at the work, and the work will get done. I will not listen to the lies. Be very, very careful. Whatever you are doing, whatever God calls you to do, no matter how great it might be in the sight of men or how menial it might be in the sight of men, it is a great work of God because God has commissioned it. And the enemy will always attack and get you to stop doing what you're doing. And his greatest weapon, lies. Worked with Eve and Adam. It's worked all throughout 6,000 years of history. Don't let it work with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that we have in your word. Thank you for the example that we have in Nehemiah. Lord, may we be found faithful just like him. May we not listen to the lies, no matter how hurtful, no matter how fearful, dreadful they may sound. Lord, may we be found upon the truth of the Word of God. May we rightly divide it. May we heartily approve of it, of memorizing it and understanding it. And digesting it and assimilating it and proving it to the world around us that you are a great God. Your will is wonderful. And no matter what the case, may we be found faithful to accomplish the task that you give us to do. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.